Hey guys, welcome back. Another edition of the Detour Live. I'm your host, Dan Jones, joined by the man on the ground, Johnny Trevorrow, and big stage, Johnny, Sam Bennett salutes. First time in, geez, I couldn't believe it, a couple of years at a Grand Tour.
2 years in a Grand Tour, yeah. It's been a while. He's had, you know, like they didn't start him in the Tour de France last year or this year, and he's been out of favour, out of sorts. But, gee, he's back with a vengeance. You could sort of tell, as I mentioned last night, I thought he'd be a big chance. And we made an effort to interview him just before the start, but that didn't happen, as it turns out. But, so we got his team leader instead. And I told him I wasn't happy with Sam, but we'll catch Sam tomorrow morning.
You go back through the issues that he's had. I mean, he had that amazing Tour de France where he won the green jersey, and then obviously there was the issues with Patrick Lefebvre. Cavendish got the start at the Tour, and obviously he was injured at the time. But he's a shy sort of guy as well. Like, he's not that sort of extroverted guy that, like a Cav, that, you know, if there are any dramas, he sort of is happy to go out the media and box on. So I think, you know, some of the issues would probably be physical and a lot of mental issues as well.
Look, I'm
given
sure
all the stuff he's had to deal with.
I'm sure. And, you know, he's a genuine guy, but, you know, some of the things that Lefebvre was saying about him were not warranted. You know, these guys don't get to this level of sport. And especially in sprinting, it's so tough if they're weak. In weak in mind or anything, you know, that's a load of bull dust. You know, Lefebvre was a pretty good bike rider himself. He wasn't as good as Sam Bennett, I don't reckon. But anyway, he's a different cat. He threw out a curly one yesterday saying about Jumbo, team from another planet. And that has got innuendos of, you know, nastiness to it. You know, he should not be throwing those things out, but that's our Patrick. But look, you're dead right, mate. It was wonderful to see. It was a fantastic comeback win. That puts him back in everyone's radar, that's for sure.
And you'd have to say, like, stage three, geez, you don't want to pencil it in the bag, but that is the proverbial, as you always say, other than crosswinds.
It'll be a sprint, but, you got Tim Merlier here, who finished third, but he got fixed up by the POM, Dan McLay, who really charged into him on the last corner and held him, just stopped his run. He did, I'm not saying he would have beaten Sam, but it would have been, he was pretty close. And Mads Pedersen, real good ride from Mads Pedersen as well. And all the sprinters were there, the ones I, couldn't find him.
You rattled off yesterday.
Yeah, those ones, yeah. Caden, actually, I didn't get to speak to him afterwards because I thought we found the bus, got in the bus, they're all in it and having showers and whatever. But there was you'll see if you look at the replay where he flashes just for a short time. He really came quick, but he ran out of space. So he was there. But really good sprint, very, very hectic in the last couple of K through those bends. They were going for a couple of crashes. I saw our mate Darryl Impey go down. I reckon it was just after the finish. I reckon he might have hit an official or something because we saw him on the ground. I thought it was one of the bike exchange boys because their colours are very similar, especially when they're laying on the ground. But it was Darryl because I saw him ride past me later with his skin off and bleeding from the elbow and stuff. But he was chirpy enough, so yeah, he's a good man. Darryl?
Geez, when you think over a cyclist's career, how much skin they lose. It's unbelievable. They just, by the time you'd finish, you'd just be a body full of calluses. Yeah.
Oh, they go away finally. It takes 50 years, that's all.
All right, well, here's a compilation of all the interviews you did pre-race. Iffy, I'll cue that now.
Caden Groves, you're just telling me it's your first Grand Tour, so what do you think so far?
I mean, so far, not much to report, except for the team time trial yesterday, which we had a good ride. A bit unlucky with the timing with our roads, we think. But, I think we would have been hard-pressed to win anyway, but with the time of Jumbo. But, ready for today.
Yeah. So today, it puts you in the firing line. I mean, some good sprinters here, but, you're right up to the task. So what do you think your chances for a stage win today?
I think they're really good. I mean, we've got a good strong team here. It's a team to take on all terrain, but I mean, with the guys from the team Stomp Troll yesterday, they all also can transition across the lead out today.
Yeah. So, what's the plan coming forward today? Have you got certain stages that you've marked especially for you?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, with Simon here, we are also like looking towards the GC, but pretty much we divide the stages up between me and him. And I'm really just taking day by day. And today and tomorrow are good chances for me.
Yeah, good luck over 3 weeks, mate.
Cheers, Johnny. Thanks.
All right, DS, Gene Bates. First day out of the way. Tell us, take us through last night's stage.
Oh, as we saw, it's a very fast opening team time trial. Quite technical, particularly in the first half, and then quite flowing and fast in the second half. Unfortunately, we got our start time a little bit earlier, where the roads were quite wet still. Wasn't ideal. We lost a few seconds here and there, and as we know, that all adds up over the duration of 23 kilometres, and we probably lost a bit more time than we were really hoping to.
I noticed that one section, that bad corner, it really affected you. You had to slow right down and get back up to speed. I reckon you lost 5 or 6 seconds in that one corner.
Yeah, it's hard to tell exactly. And it's not just the time you lose when you have to brake awkwardly. It's that momentum you lose. And getting that speed back up to 60, 70 k's an hour, it's an energy sapper. And it costs you in other places as well.
But overall, very strong performance from the team.
Yeah, it was good. It was a good good starting point. Everyone got through fine. They all did what we asked of them. They did it well. And it's a good signs for these next 2 days in Holland.
Now, a big stage for Caden coming up. It's his first Grand Tour, but a really good chance for a stage win today, I reckon.
Yeah, we're focused on the process to get him there, to allow him to sprint, and that's the big one, and how we've approached it all season with him, basically. We want to give him a clear run, get him into the final as fresh as possible, and let him do his thing, because on his day, he's fast enough to win.
All right, good luck today, mate.
Cheers.
It is, eh?
Yeah.
Gone.
Okay, mate, congratulations. Great ride yesterday. Tell us about it.
Yeah, look, we thought we did a pretty bloody good time. I was stuffed by the end of it. The Jumbo boys flew, but look, like we said yesterday, we weren't going to win the whole race there, but you could have lost it, and look, we're in the fight, and I reckon we're in a pretty good position.
Yeah, you look like you were one of the powerhouses in the team. Do you feel that?
Yeah, look, it's definitely a strength of mine. It was just about setting Ethan up for his really long turns. And, I think as a team we really executed it well. And, look, we finished with 7 guys. And I think that's a credit to the strength and the depth we've got in our team here this year.
So what's the plan for today?
Oh, I reckon just ease into it, eh? Not too much. Look, I think Ethan, if he's up for it, we'll have a sprint at the end. But other than that, just keep the boys safe and work our way into the race.
Good luck, mate.
Thanks, Iffy. Cheers, mate.
See you, bud.
We've
got our thing going, so I'll just ask you now. Congratulations, mate.
Thanks, man.
Sensational ride.
Yeah, it was good to get that out of the way. Good to get the win.
Yeah. So how did it feel to you? You're obviously one of the driving forces there.
Yeah, it felt good, but never feels amazing when you finish. It doesn't matter how good you are. The goal is basically we all finish on our hands and knees. That's exactly how I felt to the finish, to be honest with you. It didn't matter if I knew we won, it still felt like absolute death.
So what's the go today? You've got a yellow jersey to defend. So
red,
you'll be...
red jersey, mate.
Red. Oh, red. I'm sorry. Yes, it's red. You're right, mate.
But, leader's jersey, defender, it doesn't... Look, if we lose it to someone who's not on GC today, then it is what it is. It doesn't matter. The goal is Madrid. If we keep it... Maybe it'd be nice to pass it through to the team a little bit, a bit of pass the parcel, but that is what it is on the finish line. It's not going to be planned or anything. So yeah,
thanks, mate. Good luck today.
Cheers, mate.
The old yellow jersey.
Wrong bike race.
Now I reckon this is just passing on a bit of experience from the mix zone. Is if you get a prime posse when you and Vazzy get there at the start, and I found that's the easiest. You don't even have to go to the buses. You just get I bring them in.
I'm gonna have one more effort of just doing buses, because there were two riders said no, they wanted the mix zone because they, I'm going to say, you know what? Don't worry about the mix zone. We'll get them here. We're prepared to wait.
Get no, it's a different system now. Like the riders, so traditionally riders don't want to do heaps of media. They want to just knock them all over in one batch. And even the press officers, they go, oh, that's easy because then my job is just go to the mix zone. And it's just this, like, as I said, chicken farm of a process. Anyone that has to do extras, the riders go, no, it's going to interfere with the block of time that I've got before the start. I reckon if you go to the mix zone, you'll just get, you get thousands if you get in the right posse. Because as you found, a lot of them do the interviews in the big bunch, and then anyone that's further down the line.
And I've got to be fair to Sam. Sam, it was all arranged with Sam Bennett. But we I thought it was at the front of the mix zone, but they then took him right around the other end. There was, and someone else got him, and then someone else, and someone else. I should have moved down and just joined in with them. But we're also waiting for Rowan Dennis, who suddenly got sent back to the bus to get something. So we missed him altogether. I ended up chasing him down and doing it illegally right at the back of the starting bunch about a minute to go. But, so it wasn't really Sam's fault. We just like to stir it up a little bit. He just had enough, as you say. It was my fault. I should have moved down and got in the line. But, look, we'll take a book because you did right. One thing, when you got to go to the buses, you got to go to that bus. And then trying to get to another one. They're all over the place.
Yeah, it actually makes your job easier, I found. Like, when they enforce, like, with the COVID, you can only do them at the mix zone. Initially, you go, oh, really? And then when you get to the mix zone, then you start working out the system of that. And then when it was like reserve your spot first, like literally just leave a jumper and an SBS sock or whatever, you can go roam around, go to the village or whatever, and then come back just before the first guy comes through. And the best thing for the viewers is ASO, who run the race, you give them a list. You just say, I want to talk to X, boom, 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 boom. We used to give them a list of 10 riders and they didn't care. And they'd bring them all across. Have you got a couple of pins, I think, in that bag that I gave you?
Just
badge the people at ASO, give them a couple of pins, and then they're your best mate, and they'll bring them over.
We've been doing that, mate.
Good. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick drinks, mate. When we come back, you caught up with Jai Hindley post-race, and I pinched some of the vision of Sam Bennett with his teammates. So stay tuned.
Look at this bike. You think it's just a bike, right? But it's not. It's a bike. 374 people are looking at. This guy, this girl, them. All looking at it. People from here, there, and wherever this is. People that are looking for a bike. Or just a piece of it. Amateurs. Semi-amateurs. And pro-amateurs. This guy wants this bike, but with this crank and these bars. This could be the perfect match, but not this one. This girl has a bike to sell, and thousands of people might purchase it. Eyes on Bikes help grow small businesses. His, hers, yours, and the latest data and insights help those businesses keep moving. We are the world's number one bike marketplace, with over 500,000 products and 900 brands, where buyers and sellers are brought together in a place where a bike is never just a bike. Bike Exchange, where the world buys, sells, learns, and rides.
Thanks again to our great mates at Bike Exchange. Get over to bikeexchange.com.au. If you need anything bike-related, you get on the website, have a look. You'll get the best deal, and you'll be supporting all the local bike shops across Australia or international, depends on where you are.
Exactly right. And for bikes and any bit, your helmet, your jerseys, your pair of Nicks, set of tyres, you name it, bikeexchange.com will deliver. .com.au will deliver.
Absolutely. Now, here's the post-race reaction from Sam Bennett's amazing victory on stage two.
Oh, no. It's
good.
Oh, awesome, mate.
Yeah.
God, fucking come on. Yes. we need it, aren't
they?
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, man.
G'day, g'day mate, how are you? Yeah, well, he let us down this morning, Sam. We were supposed to interview him, but he gave us the flick, which is a shame because he won. But that's fantastic for the team, eh?
Yeah, really nice. It's awesome to see him get up for the win because I've always worked really hard to come here in the best shape possible. And first race takes a big win, so it's like, what more can you say, yeah?
It's always hard when you've got to, when a team has to try and juggle GC ambitions and take a sprinter.
Yeah.
But so far, it's working okay for you guys.
Yeah, I think, it really depends on the race. But, I think here, it's really nice to have some bigger guys and ambition for the sprint as well. It's nice to, with that, you can stay further at the front in the finals on the flat days. It's also just a nice change to have some sprinters in the team and they're really good guys, and it's always a good vibe at the dinner table, that's for sure.
So what was it like today? It was seemed very windy in stages. Was there any stress, or was it pretty good?
Yeah, it was pretty stressful, like on and off all day, especially with the big crowds. Like, the atmosphere was awesome, but there was a lot of people out, so it was really cool atmosphere, but yeah, pretty stressful in parts, and especially in the final there when I think 15k to go, it was on like Donkey Kong, man.
All right, mate. Well, look, good luck over the next week, and I suppose about 5 days is when you get tested.
Yeah. Another probably stressful day tomorrow, and then to Spain, and then then hopefully some solid mountains.
Thanks, Jai.
Cheers.
There's a post-race reaction, and Jai Hindley, the Giro winner from this year, but must have been you could see the emotion in the reaction after the finish line, and how much it meant to Bennett and the team, if he.
Yes, I'll tell you what, it was a bloody great lead out from Van Poppel too. Boy, Van Poppel, it was awesome. It was a world-class lead out, which Sam went on to talk about. Yeah, fantastic.
We've often talked about in Grand Tours the importance of winning a stage early, and particularly in Sam's situation, just the confidence as well, because I can remember we had him on the Social Distance podcast. Geez, it would have been 18 months ago. It was not long after he'd won the green jersey, and then we were talking about the season, and he was still at the start of the year unsure if he'd get a start at the Tour de France to have a crack at going back to back. And I remember at the time thinking, what are you talking about, mate? You're clearly the fastest sprinter in the world at that point, but the confidence like still wasn't there. Or I don't know if he was being humble, but there's something in the back of the mind, but yeah. Hopefully, I think after getting a win this early, his confidence would be sky high. And when it rains, it pours as a sprinter. So I'd be very surprised if he doesn't get the perfect lead out again. He won't go back to back.
He could go back to back. I think Tim Merlier will. He'll give it a real shake tomorrow because he will be angry, because it was actually strange. The Alpecin team, I saw Merlier and some of the other team were complaining that everyone left it up to them. But normally team managers talk and get deals sorted out, with other teams. But they sort of panicked. There was five, six rides up the road. They had a couple of minutes at max. They brought them back like with about 40K to go, 50K to go. And I thought, I didn't need to do
why
that.
Why are you doing that?
Why the effort they were putting in was pretty, pretty all in. So, yeah, I just thought it was a bit strange. It'll be interesting to see what the tactics happen tomorrow, because it's definitely a sprint day tomorrow. We thought today was flat with a little bump. Tomorrow's flat without a bump.
Yeah.
Long stage though, 198K. It's all around Breda, where we are, which is the most magnificent little town. I mean, Vazzy and I just got back from our little romantic walk, and I'll tell you, this pet town is pumping. And not it's got one of the biggest, the heart of the town, so many restaurants with all the tables, you would have thought you're in Paris or somewhere. And it was just the music going. And you could tell this, not just because the world is here tomorrow, it's set up for this all the time. So it's a really, really exciting little place. We might head out there after this, actually, even though it's
a little. Oh, I don't think so. And Kim Dixon's on us. She says, night, night, Vazzy. She said a little bump in the background. A couple of other live comments. Christopher Stapleton, hello from Florida. Always enjoy the show. Stapleton, America, not sure if he's related to Bob. Madam KV says, thanks for another excellent detail, fellas. Great interviews, Iffy. With so many mountain finishes, will the points jersey go to a sprinter or a climber, Bennett or Yates?
That's interesting, isn't it? There's enough intermediate stages, I think, that the green jersey would go to a sprinter. But it can be. There's some tough stages as well. The back end of this too is very, very hard. So that can go either way.
Yep, 100%. So who's your prediction for stage two? Outside of Bennett, you going with Merle, yeah?
I am, yeah. I go with Merle, yeah. I wouldn't mind seeing him say Bennett. Look, Caden's still a chance as well. I mean, he stuffed up a little bit today, but he showed that he had the speed. He flashed through. I mean, he only up finished 10th. He set up with about 50 metres to go and probably lost three places. But, I think he's he'll be with a chance as well. But, there's some good sprinters here, Ethan Hayter, Danny Mackay. Mackay was really Daniel Ackerman. Pascal Ackerman from UAG. Tunison, who's now the race leader, so I don't think he'll be going for the sprint tomorrow. But and Mads Pedersen was very, very quick.
UAG, is that a new team?
UAE. Who said UAG? I said UAE. You did. You said UAE. Go back and listen to it.
Yeah, go back and listen to it, and this will just prove what I've been dealing with this whole way. You call him out, and he denies it. Yeah. All right, well, we've got one more live comment before we go. Colin Morley says, interesting to see Bora video. Julian Alaphilippe congratulate Bennett. What will his boss say?
Good one. Well picked out, Cole. I don't think that his boss, as they say, Patrick, is on Sam Bennett's Christmas card list. But, they're both genuine guys and former teammates. So, of course, you congratulate him. Yeah.
Before we go, I did read one interesting article that said about Jonas Vingegaard really struggling since he won the Tour de France, and he's pulled out of the Worlds. And it's an interesting thing that it throws up, like the hysteria and the media around winning the Tour. It would have totally obviously changed his life. He'd be a household name and face in Denmark, and the attention that would bring. If you're someone that's sort of introverted, like, Cadel Evans, for example, it's something that I suppose when you get in the zone of just winning the race, factoring in how that changes your life afterwards, it'd be something that'd be difficult for a lot of riders to deal with if he.
Oh, very much so. Look, old Vinegar, he won't be going back to the fish markets anytime soon, that's for sure. And look, in a country like Denmark, where cycling is very, very popular, and the fact that the Tour actually started in Denmark this year heightened it all, and for him to get on and win this one, those crowds we saw when he came back, and most of the Danish riders who rode the Tour were there as well, they were the biggest crowds I've ever seen at any event. Pope, the Beatles, you name it. So to be a part of that, to be the main person that those people are coming out to see, would just change a lot in your life. He's not just a good cyclist who ran second in the Tour de France like the year before and was quite well known and liked. He's a very, very quiet, unassuming guy. But suddenly to get that megastar status. And I interviewed him, he just went, oh, yeah, that's okay, sort of thing. Even then, he wasn't comprehending it so much. But now, I'm sure it's but look, I don't think it'll affect him too much at all. He is a very, very level-headed guy. And, he's 25, so I think he turns 26 shortly. So He's not a real youngster. I think he'd be fine.
Yeah, but I think it's something that teams probably should factor in a bit more. Like we've talked about it on the show a few times, like the sort of mental health support with riders and cyclists. And, you know, with something like winning the Tour de France, like there almost needs to be some sort of forward thinking or a plan in place so that there is the right services if they are struggling with just the massive shift in your lifestyle. Because if you just assume, you'd be right, mate. You won the Tour. It's all part and parcel. I think you also look at them as an asset and how much money it costs, particularly for your top guys. And if you've got blokes in the right, or female riders as well, in the right mind frame, you're looking after that asset essentially.
Yeah, you're spot on. And teams are doing that now too, as you well know. You know, some don't think about it much, but other teams are getting the right sort of psychologists and that involved. I should have mentioned this because it would have been a great photo for you to show, but there was a really good photo. I have the five former winners on the start line, and it looked at those different generations, you know, Valverde and Nibali, who, you know, this is their last one about to retire, and Simon Yates and Froome, and of course Roglic. Yeah, it was just a really nice photo to show over a span of 20 years almost, you know. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Well, given that Roglic has won, what, the last four, is it?
Last three, isn't it? This would be four if he could win this one, yeah.
So it was Yates, he was the last winner before Roglic. Oh, no, yeah. Froome won the one after that.
Yeah, yes. I think it is Froome. Yeah. And then Yates, yeah, exactly. Yep.
Jesus, long time between drinks for a different winner at the Vuelta. Anyway,
amazing. It was a good photo. But tomorrow's stage starts and finishes here in Breda, and we'll say 193 kilometres, so it's a long one. There is a Cat 4 one in the middle, but it's, you've got to really look hard to see whether the road goes up or not. But but it'll be on. And look, the wind didn't get that strong today, and still it affected the race. But today it does a big circle, so they're going to be crosswinds, and they do predict a bit more wind for tomorrow. So if that's the case, could it be a little bit of the old carnage, as they say?
Well, they're always great stages when they do a loop. From a logistical point, you can literally just do your interviews, go get some tapas, or you're not in Spain. You'll find somewhere.
Oh, they're bigger tapas in this part of Holland, I can tell you that. But, yes, and we're staying, we're only about 500 metres from the start-finish line. So, nice easy morning.
All right, we'll get there early. Reserve your spot in the mix zone and just get them through the chicken farm, mate. You'll get heaps. You might even get the stick out.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Yep. All right.
We've got the big stick. The big stick. We haven't used it yet, but we will use it tomorrow.
Perfect. We'll be back again 6:30 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. I reckon Sam Bennett, you're on Merle Air, so stay tuned. Should be a good stage. Anything else before we go, Iffy?
Nah, all good. Just make sure all our wonderful followers jump on board and subscribe and whatever it is they have to do to make our numbers look good.
YouTube.com/ Detour Podcast. That's it. Thanks for the support, guys. Right. We'll be back again tomorrow. See you then. Enjoy the day.